Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We're pausing our current series to bring you a special message from Pastor Rick, one that will help you reflect on God's goodness and grow a heart of gratitude. And now, Rick brings you the final part of a moving message called Being Thankful, Even in Bad Times.
John 14 says this. Jesus said, I'm going there, he's talking about heaven, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What an incredible promise. Whenever I read that verse, circle the phrase, prepare a place for you. Whenever I read that, I'm going to prepare a place for you. The Bible says God wanted a family, and the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. He's preparing a place for his bride, those who have put their faith in him. And I always think about how nearly 39 years ago, as a young man, and I fell madly in love with a woman named Kay Lewis, and I was head over heels in love with this woman. And we got engaged. And I lived in L.A. County, and she lived up in Fresno. And I knew I needed to prepare a place for my bride where we would live together. And I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I found the coolest little condo I could find. And, of course, being in the 1970s, that meant it had lime green shag carpet and burnt orange fixtures. If you remember that, you're really old. And I remember over the next several months of our engagements, scouring, because I didn't have any money, every flea market and every garage sale, trying to find cool things to put up in that house because I was preparing that place for my bride. And I wanted it so badly to be as cool and as beautiful as I could possibly afford. But it's nothing compared to the place that Jesus has been preparing for his bride. You want to know how long God has been preparing heaven for you? You want to know how long he's been redecorating heaven for you? Look at the next verse. Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus says, then the king will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Holy guacamole, that's a long time to redecorate. He's been preparing heaven since the creation of the world. What is heaven going to be like? The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. You can't imagine it. Most people have such a poor idea of heaven. Who would want to go there? Television always portrays heaven as completely colorless. Are you kidding me? Who do you think created color? It's not going to be white. You're not going to sit in a robe with angel's wings playing a harp on a cloud. That would be hell. I can't think of any. If that's heaven, I don't want to go there. Honestly, I don't. I don't know who got that idea. Satan got that idea. That's where it came from. I mean, think about this. There's a lot of cool and beautiful things on this planet, and God created it. I mean, you think about sunrises and sunsets and beautiful beach landscapes and Bora Bora and tall redwood forests and all the beauty of flowers and colors and green. The earth is broken, and it's still a cool place. This place is marred by sin. It's why nothing works, including the environment. And it's still a cool place. Think about what a place with no sin and no suffering and no sorrow and no destruction and no global warming and nothing else, what it's going to be like. We can't even imagine it. God has been preparing it. In the CNN interview, Pierce asked Kay and I about heaven and about hope after Matthew's death. Here's what we said.
Is there any sense, Rick, despite the appalling despair that you've gone through, is there any sense of relief as a family that Matthew is now with God in heaven,
yeah,
out of pain.
Yeah, if I didn't have that hope, I would be in ultimate despair. But we have built our lives, our faith, our family, our ministry on the belief that because of Jesus Christ and because of what he did on the cross for us, we can have our past forgiven, we have a purpose for living, and we have a home in heaven. That takes care of my past, my present, and my future.
How would you like him to be remembered, Kay?
Oh, my funny, quirky, ridiculously silly, deeply compassionate, had such a sense of justice. We put on his marker, compassionate warrior. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much sums him up. He had deep compassion.
You know, we probably received over 30,000 letters of condolences. The letters that meant the most to me were the people that Matthew had led to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. That they're going to be in heaven because of him. And that says, I know the Lord. I have a relationship with Jesus because of your son over the years. And I remember writing in my journal that in God's garden of grace, even a broken tree bears fruit. And that was true in his life. And, you know, I'd like, you say, well, are you happy that it's making a difference? Of course I am. I still want my son back.
Absolutely.
I still want my son back. But as David said in 2 Samuel, who David lost a son, he said, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him. And that is the hope of heaven that we have. And that has strengthened us even through the darkest day. You know, David says, when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, wherever there's a shadow, there's a light. And so the key to walking through the valley of the shadow of death is to turn your back on the shadow, which is scary, and look at the light. And that's how you get through it.
Do you feel he's here now?
Well, I know that he's in heaven looking down on us. And we have many loved ones there, my parents, Kay's mom and dad. And that presence of God is more important than the presence of Matthew in my life, is that I sense the presence of God in my life very close. I'm not going through this alone. That's a comfort.
Rick and Kay, it's been such an honor and a privilege to do this interview. Thank you
for
letting
me
do it. And my heart goes out to you. It's a heartbreaking story.
There's hope.
But there is hope.
It's so important that people know, no matter how desperate their despair, there is hope. There's, and not to give up. Not to give up.
Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kay.
Thanks.
No matter what I go through, I know it's not going to last. And I know that this is not the end of the story. And I know that God has prepared a home for me in heaven forever. What is heaven going to be like? I'll say it again. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. We know that in heaven, we will be reunited with loved ones. I have a father in heaven. I have a mother in heaven. I have a brother in heaven. I have a son in heaven. I will be reunited with those who love the Lord and who are there. I know that we will be released from all pain. That in heaven, there will be no more broken minds from mental illness. There will be no more broken bodies that don't work right. There will be no more broken dreams. There will be no more broken relationships, no more broken communication, no more broken hearts, no more broken promises. We will be released. The Bible says there will be no more death. There will be no more pain, no more tears, no sorrow, no more suffering. We know that we will be rewarded. The Bible says, according to what you did with what you were giving. We talked about this last week. Are you storing up treasure in heaven? Or are you spending it all on yourself now? The Bible says we will be reassigned. That in heaven, you're not going to sit around and do nothing. There's going to be things to do. There's going to be work projects. Only there's no weeds and no problems that don't work and no committees to deal with. No office politics. You're going to enjoy what you do. You're not going to sit around and just do nothing. The Bible says this. 1 Peter chapter 1. God has reserved for his children. Now, by the way, let me stop right there. God put that reservation in a long time ago for you. God has reserved your place in heaven. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. Is everybody going to be in heaven? Absolutely not. If God let Hitler and axe murderers and child molesters and rapists and genocidal dictators into heaven, it'd be no better than this. The Bible says only his children are going to be in heaven. Is everybody a child of God? No. Everybody's created by God. Everybody is loved by God. God has never made a person he doesn't want in heaven. God has never made a person he doesn't have a plan for their life. But you don't become a child of God till you choose to join his family. God's not going to force you to love him. Love only is love if I have the choice. And a lot of people today say, forget you, God. I don't need a savior. I don't need God. I'm God. I'm going to be my own God. I can get to heaven on my own. You don't stand a snowball's chance of hell of getting into heaven on your own, because it's perfect and you're not, and neither am I. And the height of ultimate arrogance is to say that I get to decide how I go to God's house. Really? You can't earn it, you can't deserve it, you can't work for it, you can't be good enough, you can't be religious enough. The only way you're getting into heaven, friend, is by grace. By God forgiving you, and you saying, God, I need your forgiveness, I need your grace, I need you to save me. That's what Jesus came at Christmas to do. For unto you is born a Savior. If you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent one. There's no way you're getting into heaven on your own. You have to go the way you only get in, and that is through the grace of God. And to miss heaven, you have to do the almost impossible. You have to reject the love of God out of pride. I don't need forgiveness. I don't need a Savior. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. Now look at this. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure, circle that, make sure that you get there safely. It is the job of the captain of the cruise line to make sure you get there safely. It's not your job. It's not my job to make sure I get to heaven. It's God's job. Once I've put my hand in his, he's not letting go. He will make sure you get there safely. You see, if I could work my way to heaven, then the moment I stopped working, it would stop working. My salvation would stop working. But since I don't earn or work for my salvation, since it's simply a gift, God's not going to take it back. That is called eternal security. He will make sure that you get there safely to receive it. It's not based on my ability. Because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. I can be grateful, even in pain, because I know I'm going to heaven no matter what happens, and no matter what I do or what happens ever since, I am getting there by God's grace, because I put my trust in what Jesus did for me. You know, my greatest comfort has been this fact right here. Because I know that Matthew was not in heaven 1 second when all of his questions were answered, and all of his mental illness and all of the struggle and all of the stigma and all of the pain and all the rejection that he faced in school was all wiped out. And it all made sense. And I know that if my son could talk to me right now from heaven, he would say this, Dad, you were so wrong. You tried to explain heaven to me, but it is so much better than we ever imagined. Dad, you can't believe it. You have no idea how cool it is here, and I can't wait for you to get here too and spend eternity in the loving presence of God. That's why I can be thankful this Thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. We often suffer, but we're never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again. We know that God raised the Lord, Jesus, back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life and will bring us into his presence together. So we don't focus on the troubles we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't see yet. For the troubles we see now are temporary, but the joys to come will last forever. If you have not settled this issue, you need to do so right now, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow, much less next week or next year. If you were to die tonight and Jesus were to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would you say? Do you know the right answer? It's not, "Oh, I was trying to be a good person. I had more good than bad." Sorry, wrong answer. You need to accept the grace and forgiveness of God in your life, and you need to turn your life over to the God who made you. Let's bow our heads. If you haven't settled that issue, I'm going to lead a prayer right now, and I want you to pray it. It's the most important words you'll ever say in your life. It determines eternal destiny. It is the height of arrogance to think that you can come to God on your own terms. God has done everything for you. You don't have to do anything. You just receive it by faith. So would you pray this prayer? Dear God, first I want to thank you for my ungratefulness. Everything I have is a gift from you, and I don't express that gratitude very often. I thank you that you have a good plan for my life. I thank you that you've promised to never leave me. I thank you that when people are working against me, you want to work in me. I thank you that there is a hope of heaven in eternity, and you're preparing a home that you want me to be a part of. Dear God, there's no way I can get into heaven on my own effort. I need a Savior. And so I humbly ask you, Jesus, to forgive all my sins, to show me your grace, and to accept me into your family. I want to be your child. And as best I know how, I want to learn to love you and trust you the rest of my life. And I want you to take me safely to heaven. And I pray this in your name. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, rick@pastorrick.com, and say, "Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ." And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a life-giving message from Pastor Rick. Now let's join Rick with one last closing thought.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. You know, there's so much we can be grateful for during Thanksgiving. No matter how things go wrong in your life, there's still something you can thank God for. But let's remember those who are less fortunate. Reach out to somebody with the love of God this Thanksgiving, maybe with a meal or a blanket, or invite them to church. Think about what you can do to let them know they're not forgotten during this season of giving thanks. God bless you all, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.